glory, honor, and power. Praise his name. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Block Lock listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. And we have this morning to help us do so is our own very own brother, Deacon Eric Reed. Good morning.
Good morning, Sister Clyburn. Good morning. And
good morning
to Pastor O and everybody else in Runner for Christ Ministry family and all our listeners everywhere. We wish you a very good morning. And like the song say, praise his name for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. But right now, we're going to get started with our service, and we're going to start first by doing a scripture. And our scripture is going to be coming from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. And those particular verses from chapter 1 through 13 is what we consider a living sacrifice to God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we'll all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in each other. Honoring each other. I apologize. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. And when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. That is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. And at this time, we're going to do a brief prayer and we're going to get on with our service. Let's bow our heads, my brothers and sisters. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks to you today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We ask that you fill your Holy Spirit. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. We ask that you bless the people with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Reed.
Oh, very well.
And we appreciate you. And just have a great day today.
Thank you. I accept it, and I reciprocate that to you and everyone else.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. God bless. Hope you're having a wonderful Saturday. It's a wonderful day to praise the Lord. The birds are outside singing in the little bitty city where I live, and the sun is shining. The S-U-N and the S-O-N is shining. He shines all the time, even through the clouds. Amen, amen, and that's wonderful. Amen. You know, and at some point in our Christian life, as we mature in our walk with Jesus, you know, sooner or later we ought to recognize, amen, that he is worth more than anything, and we should love him more than anything. Amen? Come on now.
I just want to say that I love you more than anything.
Amen. You wouldn't play with Jesus. Do you love him more than anything? Any person, place,
thing, or
thought? I
don't know how many of you really love him today. But I love him with my whole heart, my mind, and my soul. Everything that is within me. I love Jesus.
I love you, Jesus. I love you more than anything. Amen. It's one thing to say that, but does he know that? Does Jesus know that's true? Amen. When we say we love you, Jesus, more than anything, and then we allow a person, we allow a place, a thing, or even a thought, amen, to show us that we need to kind of get like Peter and build that love up. Build that maturity up. Build that walk up. Amen. You know, when you get to walking with Jesus, one of the things that you're going to recognize real quick is there is nobody like him.
We give you glory. We give you all.
Nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord.
Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Reverend Gerald Marshall Overall, Pastor O, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Reverend Gerald Overall, Pastor O. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Yeah, in the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Preach.
And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt condemn.
Lord, give me a sign.
For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord.
Preach.
And their righteousness is of me, said the Lord.
Preach.
Amen.
Lord, give me a sign.
I really need to talk to you, Lord. Since the last time we talked, the walk has been hard. Now I know you haven't left me, but I feel like I'm alone. I'm a big boy now, but I'm still not grown. And I'm still going through it, pain and a hurt. Soaking up trouble like rain in the dirt. And I know only I can stop the rain with just a mention of my Savior's name. In the name of Jesus, devil, I rebuke you for what I go through and trying to make me do what I used to. But all that stops right here. As long as the Lord's in my life, I will have no fear. I will know no pain from the light to the dark. I will show no shame, spit it right from the heart. Cause it's right from the start. You held me down and nothing they can tell me now. Lord, give me a sign.
Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign.
Please show me something. I'm tired of talking to him, knowing he's frightened. Crying about life ain't nothing. But you either be the one mad cause you trapped or the one hunting. Trapped in your own mind, waiting on the Lord. With the word that cuts like a sword. The spoken word is stronger than the strongest man. Carries the whole world like the strongest man. Through the trials and tribulations, you never let us down, Jesus. I know you're here with us now, Jesus. I know you're still with us now. Keep it real with us now. I'm on the field, show me how, please. Let me take your hand, guide me. I walk slow, but stay right beside me. Devil's trying to find me, hide me. Hold up, I take that back. Protect me and give me the strength to fight.
Give me a sign.
Let me know what's on your mind.
Amen, amen. For those who don't know, that is DMX, and he passed away on this weekend. He struggled a lot in his life and his walk with Jesus, and amen. And what was in his heart for the Lord, amen, it was hard for him to bring it out and to live for him. But he did the best he could, like any of the rest of us. We want to do good, we want to do right, but then, like Paul said, evil is always present, and he struggled. But he never forgot Jesus during his fight. And some of us judgmental Christians Amen. We judge him as he was too secular. He was too this, too that. They did the same thing to Steve Harvey. Had that man crying on Donnie McClurkin's show. Amen. But, amen. That's, you know, we like to talk about DMX and say he wasn't that close to Jesus, but he produced that. What have you produced? He gone to heaven right now. He with the Lord because the Lord didn't save him because he's perfect. He saved him because he believed in Jesus. And he left a lot about Jesus behind with his name. It's there. I've been seeing it on Facebook all over the place and everywhere, Instagram and everywhere else. What have you left behind with your perfect walking self? See, before we start trashing somebody else about they walk with Jesus, we need to do like Pastor Charles Jenkins said. We need to turn left, focus on our own shelf, amen, and get our stuff together instead of worrying about somebody else. But that song moved me in 2006 when it came out, and when I was playing it this morning, it moved me again. Amen. The Lord is in that. And that's why it's like it is. But what have we left behind? When we leave here, what will continue on for us? Thief on the cross still preaching. Thief on the cross says Jesus will save anybody. Amen. Even at the last minute of their life, even somebody who was talking about them and then flipped around and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus stopped dying and said, hey, today, thief on the cross, sure enough, the last, you're going to be the first one in paradise. Come on, y'all, let's talk to our Father. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Jesus, for keeping your word and sending the Holy Spirit. You promised us you would not leave us like orphans. But you said that you was going to go to your Father and that you was going to send the Holy Spirit. And so we thank you, Father, for doing what you said you would do. We thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit. You said that go in Jerusalem and stay there until you receive the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. So we thank you, Lord, for keeping your word. We thank you for not leaving us like orphans in this world. We thank you, Jesus. You prayed over there in John chapter 17 around verse 18. You said that we wasn't of the world, just like you wasn't of the world. But you said you prayed for us. You said the same name that you asked the Father to protect them disciples, that same name you protect us from the evil one. Thank you, Jesus, for protecting us from the evil one. Thank you for allowing us to use your name. It's like using somebody's name, Jesus, who's great in the earth. And when we mention their name, the doors open up, the gates open up. They allow us to come in. We speak your name and demons have to get out of the way. We speak your name and trouble has to go. We can speak your name while we tow up in a Philippian jail and praise your name at midnight and the jail get tow up and everybody get free and everybody get saved. All because of your name. And you gave us that name. And you said at your name, everything got to bow. At your name, every tongue going to confess. At your name, every knee going to hit the ground. So, Jesus, we thank you right now for your name. There is power in your name. And all we have to do is speak your name because there's power in that name. When the seven sons of Sceva, who did not even know you, when they decided to use that name, tried to put it into their little incantations of going around being self-styled exorcists. They tried to use your name. And that name, once it was mentioned, got the ears and attentions of those demons. Not the man they were in, but that those demons said, hey, Jesus, we know. And Paul, we know about. But who are you? Lord, there's power in your name. When we speak your name by staying in faith, when we speak your name by doing what you told us to do, working on our jobs like we're working for you, having our homes run like you, according to your word, living our single lives like you told us to, and living our married and family lives like you told us to, doing church like you told us to, and when we're out there in the world like you told us to, if we do all of that, your name got power. And even, Lord, when we're like Peter, and we're walking by faith, and then all of a sudden, Jesus, out of nowhere, trouble shows up, tribulations show up, and Lord, we fail for a second, we fail for a minute, but we remember Jesus, and we call on your name, and just like you did Peter, you'll rush right over there and save us like you saved him. The song says, who wouldn't serve a Lord and Savior like that? Amen. Father, we want to stop and just say we thank you for loving us just because you want to. We gave you no reason in the garden to continue with us. We gave you every reason because I know you looked forward and saw we just got worse and worse and worse right up to the flood. And then even after that, we just kept falling all the way through the Old Testament. And then even after Jesus came, we still got our problems, but we thank you for Jesus because we forever fixed. Why? Because you wanted to. You didn't create us to go to hell. That was made for the devil and his angels to be put out of your presence forever, for his temptations to be gone for good. Just like during the tribulation, like the millennial reign, when he's gone, everybody acting right. But as soon as he get out, it start acting up all over again. We thank you, Father. Amen, for putting him in his place. Hell, which you said over there in Matthew 25 and 41, that was created for him and his followers. But Jesus, we are so thankful for John chapter 14 and verse 2, where you said you was going away to prepare a place for us. Who? Human beings. So you never intended for human beings to go to hell. You intended for human beings to live with you forever. Because Jesus, you said you was coming back to get us. And if it wasn't like that, you would have told us it wasn't like that. But you said you was going away to prepare a place for us. And when that place is ready, and it's ready, Jesus, you gonna come back and get us and receive us unto yourself, where we can be with you always, never to be separated again. Once you come and get us, whether you come and rapture us personally or whether the whole church get up out of here, we will never, ever have to be without you again. And we thank you for that. We ain't had nothing to do with that. And all you told us to do was believe. Lord, we ask now that you would remind us that we're the church that you built. And you didn't just build us to get up inside them walls, which you done kicked us out of. You didn't just build us to get up inside them walls and sit there and hate unsaved folks and just love saved folks. No, you told us to go to church so we could learn how to live for you outside the church and tell people about you and help people who've turned to you to live for you and help folks demonstrate the love of God by helping people in or outside the body of Christ. And Jesus, all we were doing is going to church. We were stuck up, and we even said it ourselves. We need to get outside in the world with unsaved people, but we wouldn't. So you kicked us out. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I see more people on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and everything else and LinkedIn and everything else, Jesus. They're talking about you. I see more preachers out there now than I ever saw before. Before, they was locked up in their little walls, scared they're going to lose a member, scared some other preacher might preach to them and they're going to leave. And so they just locked themselves up, told their members, don't go visit nowhere else. Everything you need is right here. But now, Jesus, it is open season. And you have given us power to witness like never before. The doors have flung wide open. It's Philippian church time. You said, behold, I set before you a door that is open that nobody can close. Jesus, that door ain't going to close till you rapture the whole church out here. As long as we're here, we should be doing what you said. You said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But we ain't concerned about that, Jesus. Some of us, Jesus, going to die and come home to you, and we ain't never led nobody to Christ. We ain't even tried. We said, that wasn't my thing. My thing was ushering. Lord Jesus, that gift ain't even listed in 12, or it's not listed anywhere. Our gift is to tell somebody. You said, Jesus, just before you lifted up off this planet, you said over there in Acts chapter 1, 1 through 8, especially in verse 8, you're going to receive power. That power was the promise you made of the Holy Spirit to come, the one you said you wouldn't leave us like orphans, but you said you're going to go to the Father and send him, and you did on the day of Pentecost. They had power to in the devil's world, where he runs things. You gave us power to be greater is he that's in us, the person of the Holy Spirit, than the devil and all them demons in the world. And we can operate right here in this little raggedy kingdom. And we can snatch folks out of it. Right here, Jesus, we can snatch folks out of the devil's kingdom and bring them into your glorious kingdom. You have made us a kingdom of priests. You have made us what my brother Richard talks about, a royal priesthood. We have power to go right into the devil's lair, just like Paul did. He went into the Gentile world that the devil had a tight grip on, into the Gentile world where the devil had a stronghold in the mind and a stronghold in those places set up. But Paul went to old nasty Corinth, planted a church there, went to old crazy Ephesus, pastored, planted a church there, went down there to the Galatians and planted a church there. Lord, he went all over the whole known Roman world, went and told Caesar that you just killed the Messiah. And Lord, we ain't went nowhere. We got all kinds of modes of transportation. We have every vehicle. You've given us every kind of way. We'll get on Facebook, Jesus, be on there all week. Ain't said nothing about you. Just showing people what we went and ate somewhere. Or the movie we watching on TV. But we don't want to be a fanatic, so we don't say nothing about you. We haven't even told our kids about you. Our kids don't even take church serious because we don't take church serious. They modeling us, Jesus. We don't go to Sunday school. They don't go to Sunday school. We don't go to church. And Jesus, you'd have made going to church easy. We can go to church right in our house, and we still won't do that. We will attend this worship service and wash dishes. We will attend this worship service and do whatever it is we want to do. We can't even stop long enough just to worship you. Just to say thank you for everything you've done for us, gonna do for us, have done for us, is doing for us. We can't even give you, you told Peter and them just the other day, couldn't you watch with me for an hour? We, Jesus, we got so many people, so many places, so many persons, things, and thoughts that come ahead of you. Wipe it all out the way. You've kicked us out the church house, and we still don't get it. We think the devil created a disease, and that's why we out the church house. No, you kicked us out the church house because we wasn't doing nothing in the church house. Chasing you for blessings and breakthroughs like we retarded. Lord Jesus, that's backwards. You said it like this in Matthew 6 and 33. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and his righteousness. And all of this stuff you keep leaving me for will just be added to you. We don't have no time for you, Jesus. We don't have no time for personal Bible study. We don't have no time for Bible study, period. We don't have no time for church. But we sure got time to get on our knees and tell you everything that's going wrong in our lives and how we want you to fix it. But we won't do nothing for you. Jesus, I know you get real angry when you watch us not even teach our kids about you. I know you get real jealous when we get mad at our kids because they got bad grades or they're not doing their homeschooling right. They ain't used to homeschooling because they ain't used to being homeschooled in the Bible or in secular knowledge. But Jesus, we will push them to get a good grade. We will push them and go broke trying to get them in college, and they come right back home having accomplished nothing. But we will not put any kind of effort into making them know you. Not at all. And I know you know that. You know each and every one of your little brothers and sisters. You know what we do for you every day and what we don't do. You know what we come to you about, what's uppermost in our hearts. Like you said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you hear us pray, we pray about what's the abundance of is in our heart to you. And it's not witnessing, because you know we ain't led nobody to Christ Jesus. You know that. It's not about teaching nobody, because we won't learn ourselves to teach nobody. We won't even learn to teach the kids that you love. You said if one of these little ones be hurt, it'd be better for you to hang a big old giant steam shovel around your neck and go swimming in the river. That means, Jesus, you would drown. That'd be better off for you than to hurt one of these little ones. And how much hurt do we do to them when we won't even teach them about you? When you be in our homes every single day and you see us allowing our kids to dress, not like you said over there in 1 Peter 3. No, we allow our kids to dress like the world. We allow our kids to talk like the world. We allow our kids to talk to us like the world. But Joshua, Jesus, he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But we can't seem to say that in our own house. All kinds of evil go in our own houses. And we know it and say nothing about it. We're just like Eli when his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, was going crazy and stealing from the offering even before it was offered to you. He knew about it and did nothing. How many, Jesus, of your brothers and sisters got stuff going on in their house, they know about it, and they ain't saying nothing, doing nothing? It's easy to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But it's not easy to do, Lord. We have to love you enough to do that. We have to forsake every person, place, thing, or thought that we would seek to put above you. You told us we can't love our kids more than you. You told us we can't love a husband or wife, a family or friend more than you. If we do, we're not worthy of you. And yet we do it every day. We love men and women so much more than you, we'll shack up. Even though you don't like us living together like we married, and we ain't married, but we'll do it, and we're doing it in front of our kids. We say we ain't, don't do it. If that don't work, Jesus, they're going to double up on what we're doing. And so the devil used us to misguide our own kids. We can't even keep our mouths in front of them. We cuss like drunken sailors, and then our kids start cussing, and we think it's funny. All that is working with the devil to produce rebellion in them against you, to teach them, like he told Adam and Eve, no, you're not going to surely die, but God knows your life's going to be better without him. And that's what we're teaching our children. Jesus, have mercy on us, Lord. All this stuff we see going on in the world today is because we've abandoned you. And the reason the church has no power to make this virus go away is because we've abandoned you. But we thank you for the vaccine. At least, Jesus, those of us who don't follow the world so much can't even see that you sent it. They believe the world made this thing. The world can't make nothing without you. Especially something like this that haven't killed nobody. Jesus, you've allowed over 100 million people to be vaccinated, and not one of them have died, except for those liars who pop up on Facebook and YouTube telling people this person died and that person died. They're being used by the devil to dissuade people from getting the help you sent. Block that out, Jesus. Every one of your little brothers and sisters who's running around here as a tool of the devil, supporting his agenda to kill, steal, and destroy. Wipe it out. Push back against it, Jesus. Stop the church from lying and let them speak the truth. The devil's using your own brothers and sisters who you came to the cross just last week, died, and got back up with all power in heaven and earth, and he's using them to dissuade people to allow the devil to sneak in, steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus, we were just taught by Deaconess June Rogers on last week that we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, his schemes. or are we? We're so into this world, Jesus, we believe and trust everything but you. Oh, Lord, we have a whole lot to repent for, but we're so thankful that you are a big God. We're so thankful that you're a wonderful, forgiving, kind God, and that we can come to you and confess our sins and be confident that just as you said in 1 John 1:9, we would be forgiven our sins, and that you would cleanse us from the nonsense, the unrighteousness that we've gotten ourselves into. Lord, help us to back up from this world. We've fallen in love with it, and we've placed it above you. We will go on Facebook and post something they said over and against what you said. The world is saying it's okay to be gay, and now you got church folks running around here talking about it's okay to be gay. Jesus, you, when I look at Leviticus 18, when I look at Leviticus 20 and 13, when I look at Romans 1, when I look at 1 Corinthians 6, when I look at 2 Peter and 1, I see the same thing over and over, only New Testament. You ain't cool with it. But because we love them more than we love you, we say it's all right. So we don't have to feel bad about them, amen, being caught up. Jesus, being gay ain't no different than telling a lie. But when a person says that they have no sin to you, that being gay ain't a sin, shacking up ain't no sin, and we just going to do it till we die, that's a lie. That is not confession. You said if we confess, that means that word confess, we have to agree with you that what you said is true and what we're saying is a lie. If we don't confess and agree with you, then we cannot have forgiveness and we cannot have cleansing. The formula is, Lord, that you gave to us is confess your sin. Agree with me. I'm right. You're wrong. Then we get the forgiveness. Then we get the cleansing. So, Lord, if I have to ask you for anything, I want to ask you that Jesus be lifted up in all of us, that we all lift Jesus up. And when people see him, they be drawn in. And after they get drawn in, Jesus, I ask that there be teachers to teach them. I ask that the fivefold ministry that Elder Stevens always talks about over there in Ephesians actually works out and produces those mature Christians. And I know it will if it's applied. I pray it actually works out in every church that names your name on earth. That's all I have to ask for. I thank you for our houses, our cars, our clothes, our family, our friends, and fellowship, and all that good stuff. I thank you for that, Jesus. You kept your word. You said if you seek you first above all else, your righteousness, that it'll be added. You've been adding it. Thank you for that. We got houses, cars, clothes, and everything. And some of us got this stuff, and we don't even do what you tell us to do. That's how good you are. It doesn't mean that we're just because we got that stuff really precious to you, because a whole lot of rich folks in the Bible died like the one you told the story about and went straight to hell. And then poor folks who ain't had nothing more than Lazarus, dogs coming by and licking his wounds, okay? He didn't have nothing, but when he died and got up out of here, he went to Abraham's bosom, and he had everything. I think it was Abraham who told the rich man, while you was on earth, you fared sumptuously every day and was royally arrayed in purple. And your boy Lazarus didn't have nothing. But now you over there in torment, and your boy Lazarus is over here in comfort. Lord, I thank you that you spoke on behalf of Lazarus. He didn't even have to answer that man. Father, I pray that we would come to really, really worship you. Let's just stop playing church. We even outside the building now, we still ain't doing no job. We running around here scared of everything and won't say nothing about you, trying to be politically correct. And we don't believe you can protect us, Jesus, because we run around. We got more guns around here than the unsaved world do. And if the Lord don't protect the house can't be protected. If the Lord don't build the building can't be built. But we don't get that. I know, Jesus, we have the right to self-defense. Paul didn't carry a gun. Jesus didn't carry a gun. Shouldn't nobody be running around here with guns but police. and army folks, but we got more guns, assault rifles. And Jesus, when I was in the Navy, those were used for one reason, killing mass groups of people. They were not used for target practice. You tear up a deer trying to hunt with it. And could you imagine, Jesus, what would happen to a rabbit shot with an AR-15? Wouldn't be nothing left. We need help. And only you can help us. But the only way we can get that help is to turn from us to you. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that we turn from us to you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that from this moment forward, give us the strength to do what we got to do. If we have to walk away from somebody who has us sinning against you daily just to be with them, give us the power to walk away. Give us the strength to trust you, lean on you, and believe in you, and rely on you that much. It was so hard for Israel to leave Egypt. Lord, they struggled without for 4,000 years. And even when Jesus came, those who in Acts chapter 15 of the Pharisees who had joined the church were still struggling to let go and just receive the free salvation that you gave. So we're no different. And we struggle, Jesus. And things we struggled with, we get tired of confessing. So we just figure this is the way we are. But as long as we confess it every day, if we have to, we'll be forgiven every day. And then you'll work with us continuously until we get control over that thing. Help us, Lord. We need your help. And I know you will. Father, those who are sick in the body of Christ, heal them. Jesus, it's your body. You know every sick person in your body. I pray you send healing to them right now. And let them know you sent it. I pray if somebody has to go to the hospital to get surgery, I pray that you make them doctors be almost like it's you doing the surgery. And let miracles happen. I love you, Jesus. You know we talk a long time, but this is church, and it's time for some preaching. Bless the preacher with a word from you. Bless the preacher to have courage to say whatever you tell him to say. We are your body, Jesus. Talk to us through the preacher today. And bless those who receive to receive it and to live it out in their daily lives. And in that way, Jesus, you'll be lifted up. And you'll draw all men unto you. You said over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, that we should seek to lead quiet lives, that we should mind our own business and work with our own hands. And you said that we would win the respect of the unsaved. And you said also we wouldn't have to depend on anybody. I pray, Lord. Every person listen to me, every person under the sound of my voice, every person that will listen in the future, I pray that comes true for them. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Wonderful, forgiving, and kind God. Govern yourselves accordingly. Powerful prayer, Pastor. Thank you for making our request known to God. Amen. All
Amen.
Right, I am truly enjoying this service, and that was just such a powerful, deep-rooted prayer. Just goes deep down in your soul. Govern yourselves. So, continue. I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to serve as your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Okay, it's time for the preach word. A message from God. The best and the blessed part. Icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear after this selection is Brother Elder Joseph Stevens. Let's prepare to receive Elder Joseph Stevens coming his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
The outpouring of your spirit, till I can't take no more. I need you, Lord, right now. Fill me up again. I cannot move on without you. Do like you did way back when. I need you, Lord, right now.
My. Lord help. Thank you, Lord. I just want to say, Pastor O, you ain't right. Play that song after the prayer you prayed. Lord Jesus. Whew. Good morning, Pastor O, Sister Sheila, Running for Christ family. Blog Talk Radio. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Fun on this show. We talk and laugh and do different things. I didn't get on early on purpose, but I did get in somewhere in the middle of that prayer. God used you in ways that you will never understand in that prayer. God used you in that prayer in a powerful, magnificent way. God used you in that prayer for our minds, to open our eyes, to open our ears, and to get serious about what God wants us to do. Not what you think somebody else should be doing, but what he wants each one of us to do individually. Oh, my goodness. We just come from celebrating Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. I think he said it in the prayer. Jesus went through a night of unjust trials. Weak Roman leaders, scared of the Jewish corrupt religious leaders, would not. They knew Jesus was innocent, but they would not declare him innocent for fear of the religious Jewish leaders who hated them. Ain't that something? Conceiving, lying Jewish religious leaders conspired against our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus from the cross said, "It is finished," which was one of the seven last words. It is finished. I couldn't get that thought out of my mind all week. It is finished. And when I thought about Jesus, I thought about Paul and the ministry. And his ministry kept coming to my mind. We didn't know him as Paul then. His name was Saul. He was not finished. However, he had to deal with conceiving, lying, Jewish religious leaders who conspired against his ministry in Jesus Christ to the Jews and the Gentiles. 2 Timothy 2:4-6 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." King James. This scripture has been preached at many funerals for brothers and sisters in Christ that have been through a lot of trials and tribulations throughout their life, even some that have been in severe sickness. We hear this scripture used many times to preach their funerals. Today, I would like to look at another point of view about this scripture. My subject today, I've finished
I finished. I started and kept the faith. Let me say this. Finishing well should be on the heart and the mind and the goal of every Christian. Finishing well should be on the heart, the mind, and the goal of every Christian. To have a good finish, it will take a good start and a faithful travel on the journey. We must depend on the Holy Spirit to finish well our work for the Lord. We must depend on the Holy Spirit to help us finish well our work for the Lord. Saul, a Pharisee of Pharisees. Saul had the privilege of both Jewish and Roman citizenship. Saul trained under Gamaliel, one of the best. Saul had written orders from the high priest to arrest any men, women, or children of the way. Acts 8:1 says Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen, New Living Translation. Those stoning Stephen actually took off their coats and laid them at Saul's feet. But you know what? Saul heard Stephen pray a powerful prayer also. Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. God used Stephen and Philip, two deacons, in a powerful way in the book of Acts. Deacons, where have we missed it today? I said we because I was formerly a deacon. And for a long time, even after I went into ministry, Reverend Barlow would not let me off the deacon board. I was a deacon and a minister. But, you know, that's another subject. Can't get into that today. Acts 9:1-2 says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. 2, and desired of him letters to Damascus to be to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. King James. Suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. Saul fell to the ground and heard a voice. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul fell to the ground and heard a voice. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I've always been amazed, intrigued by Saul's response. Who art thou, Lord? And then Saul quickly learned it was Jesus. Saul had to respond, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? In other words, I finished my terror and persecution of your people of the way. I finished that, Lord. Jesus told him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The men traveling with Saul stood speechless. They heard the voice, but did not see anyone. And when Saul did arise from where he was on the ground, he was blind from the bright light. He had to be led by hand to Damascus. Saul met Jesus on the Damascus Road, and what a life-changing meeting that was. Have you really met Jesus? Have you really met Jesus? Saul went 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink anything. And then God had Ananias, a believer, a disciple of God, who received a vision from God. Acts 9:11-16 says, the Lord said, go over the straight street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. Let me say that again. He is praying to me right now. Verse 12. I have shown him in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. It's amazing that both Saul and Ananias heard God. We need to hear God. We need to hear God. Last month I talked about Gideon. And just like Gideon, Ananias questioned God about his own health, his safety, and his welfare. But verse 13 says, but Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. 14, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. 15, but the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument, my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. 16, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Let me read 16 again. God said, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. We celebrated Jesus' obedience on the cross and his death. And Jesus said, it is finished. How many know? Jesus' real victory did not come on the cross. Jesus' victory came in the garden when he prayed 3 times while his disciples were asleep. My will, but thy will be done. I believe Saul's victory came when he was praying and fasting to God. Those 3 days. I believe he said somewhere in his own mind, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, Saul, I have started well. How often have we missed what God said? I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So it's not like Saul went into all this suffering and other things well after he started following Jesus. God said, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. But then Ananias, knowing he heard from God, said, and went and called him Brother Saul. The scales fell from his eyes. He received the Holy Spirit and was baptized. Oh, praise the Lord. How powerful it is when we hear and do what God has said. When we hear and do what God has said. Reverend Gerald has prayed about all the things we're not doing when it's already written in the Word for us to read, to meditate on, to hear in Bible class, Sunday school, to hear it preached, and to hear it in our own minds when we read it and study it. Saul certainly did suffer as an apostle of God. The Jews were his worst enemies, but they were not his only enemies. Saul's preaching became more and more powerful in Damascus. That was verse 23. They were already plotting to kill him. His Jewish brothers and sisters already, right in the 23rd verse, was plotting to kill him. Saul, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. As Christians, we're to fight the good fight of faith. As Christians, we're to fight the good fight. Ananias had to stand up to the other apostles, disciples in Jerusalem on behalf of Saul. May I be so bold to ask, who have we stood up for in Christ? I'll pause and let you think about that a minute. Who have we stood up for in Christ? You know, back in the Old Testament and even in the New, God often changed the names of people. But remember, I said Saul had dual citizenship with two different names, Saul and Paul. Acts 13:9-8 says, Saul, also known as Paul, his partial resume in 2 Corinthians 11:23-29, the New Living Translation, brings out the following. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Saul says, five different times Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Remember, 40 meant death. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. He said all of that in those verses. But in the 28th verse, he said something very important. He says, then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. The daily burden of concern for all the churches. The Holy Spirit denied him going to various parts of Asia. He even wanted to go to Rome several different times, but he was not able to do it. When he was denied going to Asia, there was a voice that came to him and said, come over to Macedonia and help us. Lydia, a merchant of purple, and her household believed and was baptized because of Saul's witness. Paul and Silas was jailed. Oh, but at midnight, they prayed and sang hymns. They had a praise and worship celebration that none could compare to. And the reason I say that, suddenly there was an earthquake. The jail's foundation was shaking. All the doors were open. And every prisoner in that place, chains fell off. The jailer woke up, came in, and thought that all the prisoners were gone. He was ready to kill himself. But it was Paul that shouted, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here." And then he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Who is asking any one of us, "Sirs, ma'am, what must I do to be saved?" Many Jews and Gentiles believed in Jesus because of Paul's preaching, missionary work, and his church plans. Paul went on 3 separate missionary journeys. He never lost sight of Jesus Christ during his ministry. Saul, the great persecutor of the way, had become Paul, the great apostle, disciple, preacher, teacher of the way and the Christian church. Apostles and disciples were scattered all over because of the persecution after the stoning of Philip. Think about that. They traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. And God used Barnabas to look for Saul in Tarsus, and then they together went to Antioch. Look at God. Antioch. Time the disciples were called Christians at Antioch. God used Peter and Saul mightily in the book of Acts. God used Barnabas and Saul to get gifts back to Judea. While they were worshiping again, once again, and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Acts 13:2 NIV. "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." 13:2. Saul started his first missionary journey, Acts 13:4. Acts 13:9, Saul, also known as Paul, let me say that again, Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked to a sorcerer at that time in the sorcerer's eye. He looked him in the eye, and he said, "You son of the devil, full of every sort of deceit and fraud, and enemy of all that is good, will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord?" And God is amazing. He struck that sorcerer blind, just like he did Saul on the Damascus Road. The sorcerer began groping around. Someone had to take his hand and lead him away. Paul and Barnabas continued in a powerful ministry of preaching and teaching. One day, Paul stood up and lifted his hand and he said, "Men of Israel and God-fearing Gentiles." Paul stood up then and broke down Israel's history, just as Stephen had did when Saul stood there and witnessed his stoning. He broke down the history of Israel and the Jewish people from way back in the Old Testament up to the present time. This is just a part of Paul's powerful ministry. He started well in persecuting of the way, but he found out his well was not God's well. He started well after he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I encourage each one of us today to fight good fight of faith. Stay your course and finish well. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Gerald.
Okay, I got everything on over here. I had my mic off. You know, I got a mic on my wire and a mic button on this switchboard. And amen. You know, I'm go ahead and apologize. It was Jesus' fault. He had me pray your sermon. Amen. Amen. I know you was like, really?
No, well, I looked at it another way, just like I said about preaching that scripture for people who have suffered through a lot of trials and tribulations and or sickness in their lives. I looked at
that
when Paul said, I have finished my course. I looked at it as, yes, I finished the way God wanted me to finish. Hey. So I looked at what you prayed. It was confirmation for what I had put together. Because believe me, I wrestled with getting it together. And then that same old, we ain't supposed to have, God has not given us the spirit of fear. And he hasn't given us a spirit of doubt. But the doubt always comes up when you prepare a message. Is this me or is this you, God?
Amen. Well, now you know
that is great
confirmation.
Your prayer confirmed it in so many different ways. If you could have seen me in my vehicle, if you could have seen me, you might not even been able to finish. My daughter sent me a song this morning. I listened to it about 10 times by Elevation Worship, Talking to Jesus. And I had listened to that, and then you prayed what you prayed, and then that song you played before I started to preach, Lord Jesus, I was almost not in shape to start preaching, but I had to pull it together.
I know I do that to myself sometimes and be all tore up. But it's a good thing to know that the Lord is orchestrating this whole thing, and that does my heart good. Hold on, preacher. We'll bring you back for some closing words. Amen. We've been blessed today, and as Pastor Barlow used to say, that we've been charged. Amen. The charge has been put to us, amen, to have that same testimony that Paul had. Listen, brothers and sisters, as much as the Lord loves us, he loves us a whole lot, and he anxious to get us where he is. And so we might want to get busy. You know, one day Jesus hung out with Enoch, and me and Deacon Charles Tate talk about this all the time. They were just walking along, and the Lord was like, you might as well just come on up here with me. Amen. So one day Jesus goes, walk us right up out of here, whether it's the whole church or just us. So we should stop. Let's do what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. That's King James. But what he is saying is, amen, make the most of every day. And how do you do that? Make sure a day don't go by that you don't tell somebody about Jesus. Make sure they don't go by that you don't help somebody who is in Christ to learn how to live for him better. Make sure that no day goes by without you doing something to help somebody in or outside the body of Christ. Amen. Find ways to do that. For those of you who might want to give your life to Christ, meet me on the other side of this song.
There is a place far. Yes, there is a place for me. There is a place for me. There is a place for me in the body of Christ. And I belong here.
Chapter 14, verse 2, that he prepared heaven for us. If you're ready to go to that prepared place, would you just pray along with me? Say, Lord God, creator of all mankind, I'm an admitted sinner in need of salvation. Today I confess my sins and place my faith in Jesus Christ for my salvation. Lord God, I believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to welcome you. If you prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you to the family, my sister, my brother in Jesus Christ. You are now a Christian, a child of God the Father through your faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Now all you need to do is find and join a Bible-based church in your area. If you live in our area, we would love to have you at RFCM. We're an unashamed Bible-based church. However, if you do not live in this area, Jesus has a Bible-based church right where you live. Here's some info that will help you recognize a Bible-based church in your area. A Bible-based church proclaims the whole counsel of God as revealed in the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. A Bible-based church has a system to lovingly help members to live a life that reflects the teachings and values of Jesus Christ. A Bible-based church applies scripture to every area of life. It looks to provide for all the members of the family. A Bible-based church will encourage the use of and provide opportunities for members to exercise the use of their gift or giftings. A Bible-based church is passionate about reaching the lost and teaching the Word of God to the saved. A Bible-based church supports the weak, helps the needy, and encourages the downhearted. Now, when you find a church with these Bible-based characteristics, join it and become all that you just became in Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. If you'd like to hook up with us here at Running for Christ Ministries, just go visit our church website and just click on contact. Send us an email. Let us know that you want to join with us. Or pick up the phone and call 313-908-9448 and let us know you want to hook up with Running for Christ Ministries, and we'll get it done for you. Amen? Amen. And here's one of the benefits of being in a Bible-based church. You get Bible-based sisters like Crystal, amen, Deaconess Crystal Klump, who finna hook you up on everything that's going on. You're like, what's going on at Running for Christ Ministries? Oh, stop panicking. We got Crystal. Crystal know what's going on from earth to heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, wait a minute. Where is my shoe? Amen.
Ooh, yeah. Help us all. Look, ooh, I woke up Running for Christ Ministries probably 5 minutes into your prayer. So I'm just here to finish my job, and I'm giving my 2 weeks. It's a wrap. Because I'm listening to that prayer.
Say the whole church block now, huh?
You know what? Everybody blocked. The only person I ain't blocked on is Tim Pam and a couple other people. Everybody else is blocked. Because I was listening to that prayer, and I was, well, first of all, when you played the song with DMX, Amir, I was taking Amir to work, and he's like, Mama, is that DMX? I said, yeah, boo. I said, that it sounds really like him, because I was laughing. I said, Pastor just turned on his Christian rap before he say his altar call. And then we were listening to it, and he's like, Mama, that sounds like DMX. I said, yeah, I think it is, because I feel like I'd heard that song before. And then after you came back on and said, you know, that it was. And one of the things when he, because this whole week for DMX was an up and down. You know, social media is just a hot mess. You know, everybody's trying to be first to report that somebody done died or something happened. You know, like you get a prize or something for being the first person to say something. Nobody ever considers the family members. Nobody ever considers the children, the loved ones of people, whether you are of high celebrity status like somebody like DMX, or if you're just somebody who, you know, I read articles on the news here all the time of accidents that happen. People get hit, you know, by cars crossing the street and stuff. And people just cannot wait to go on social media and put this stuff out there. And nobody ever has any concern for any family members or loved ones or children or anything like that. It's just I want to be the first one on social media to put this out there. But, you know, I was just thinking this whole week, you know, when 1 minute they said he had passed, the next minute they said he didn't, and all of this stuff, all I could just keep thinking to myself and praying was, Lord, I hope he belonged to you. So when you came on after the song and you confirmed that it was him, and I'm like, I knew it because I had heard it before. And then you, you know, confirmed that, you know, he did, you know, believe in Jesus. And we know that his struggle was real. And that was one of the things that was sad for me. I grew up listening to DMX, and, you know, he has had his ups and downs, you know, with his struggles. But who of us haven't? Because like you were talking about, you know, with your perfect life and your, you know, non-sinful life. I said, Pastor is on the road. Then you got on and did that prayer. I said, you know what? I'm leaving this church. I got to go. I got to go. I got to be a heathen. I'm out. But you know what? It does my heart so good to know, because we never really know truly the struggles of people, especially people who are not in our circles or whatever the case may be. And so it really does my heart good. And I feel at peace knowing that physically, you know, and mentally and emotionally, whatever was going on within him, he's no longer suffering, but that he is at peace with the Lord eternally. So when you said that, I was like, ooh, I texted my son, like, he belonged to Jesus, son. He was like, praise God. I said, I know, because, I mean, who don't want DMX in heaven? What? I mean, seriously. But nevertheless,
I heard him.
You know, today has been powerful.
I heard him.
It's so powerful.
I heard him when he made his confession. I heard Steve Harvey when he made his confession. I don't usually say anything about these people unless I hear them with my own ears, see their face, and read the book. Because God, Jesus have taught me how to read body language, telling people lying, anyway.
That's right.
But anyway, he made a real, just like I saw Jeffrey Dahmer give his confession for Christ, and it was real. And I saw DMX make his confession for Christ. And he struggled, but he never stopped believing that Jesus loved him. And there's one prayer he got out there where he was giving thanks that the Lord would even use somebody like him to have anything to do with somebody like him. And that, to me, that was just powerful. See, because he come from that world that I came from. So I know how hard it is to get out. I know people who still in it. And they were in it when I was in it, and they're still there. So it's hard.
It's very hard.
He's home now.
But he's home now, and, you know, and when Jesus comes back, you know, everything is going to be perfect. No sadness, no sin, no crying, no tears, no nothing. Everything is going to be beautiful and peaceful, and the enemy is going to be exactly where he deserves to be. And that song that you play, I love listening to the words of that song. There is a place for me in the body of Christ. We all need to know that we belong exactly where we are, you know. So that song really is a confirmation that no matter what anybody says to you or how this world makes you feel, your circumstances or whatever, you belong here and you have a place in the body of Christ. You know, so I had been beat down by today's sermon, you know what I'm saying? The pray, the songs, the prayer, the preaching.
I'm
like,
leave
Lord,
you alone.
I'm tired. Yes, I said, Jesus, I'm tired. I feel like, I said, after I heard you pray that prayer, I said, Lord, I'm leaving running for Christ. We too small to be that powerful. I said, this don't make no sense. I got to go, because you be trying to use people, and then you done used Pastor and the Elder Joe that came on, Cardinal that came on here, and he preaching, and he said he was in the car messed up. I'm trying to keep myself together. I said, you opening my microphones. It's just too much. So I'm giving my 2 weeks. After y'all hear these announcements, I'm out.
Praise God. He awesome.
Lord,
he awesome. He gets to
he
do his
awesome.
Stuff.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Well, I'm going to do these announcements, and then y'all, it's a wrap. So good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners, new and old, who tuned in this morning to our Saturday morning worship service. It has been amazing from the beginning up until now. So, God, wow, it's just, I don't even know what to say. I'm just, beautiful service, absolutely beautiful service. So, of course, we got some good news. Duh. Happy anniversary, if I could talk. Happy 18th anniversary to Running for Christ Ministry, a ministry of teaching, learning, and doing. And boy, do we get taught, do we learn, and do we do. Ooh, Jesus. God knew exactly what he was doing, and he was intentional when he brought this ministry together. And the Lord has kept his promises, and he has been faithful. And 18 years later, he is still working in us and through us to continue to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth and saving souls along the way. So we continue to praise God for all that he has done for us at Running for Christ Ministries. Amen. We won't be celebrating in person together, unfortunately, but spiritually we will be together here on Blog Talk Radio each and every Sunday this month because, I mean, duh, who doesn't celebrate a joyous occasion like a birthday or an anniversary all month long? So, like, who will we be to just say, no, we're not going to celebrate all month? No, we are going to celebrate all month long here on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday. So make sure that you tune in. Amen? Amen. So we always want to thank the pastor of the hour who comes on Saturday. So today it was Elder. Y'all know that's my cardinal, Elder Joe Stevenson, came on today and brought us an amazing, amazing word. We know that he's always ready to bless us with the word from the Lord, and so we thank him for his faithfulness and his consistency and his obedience to bring to us what God has told him. And so we all pray that you were blessed in some way by what you have heard today. Amen. Amen. So Running for Christ Ministries, the physical, sad, lonely, empty building, is still located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. We know that our Bible reading class is now held on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Deacon Eric Reed will be teaching 2 Kings chapters 1 through 6. The questions have been emailed to you, and they are also available online for you to access. Just go to rfcm.org under Bible classes, and you will find them there to participate. Also, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall, which is Pastor O's brother, we all know that by now, is on Blog Talk Radio with his own hour, teaching and preaching in his series, Training Day. We know he used to come on the 4th and 5th Saturdays, but it just was not enough time, and he's just way too full. So he has his own hour, and it's on Tuesday at 4 p.m., every Tuesday at 4 p.m. So set yourself a reminder each week, and tune in at 4 p.m. every Tuesday. Amen? Amen. So tomorrow, Sunday, April 11th, Run for Christ Ministries, again, will still be celebrating our 18th church anniversary here on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, unfortunately, we're not able to celebrate physically in person, but we can and will celebrate spiritually. So make sure to tune in tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. for Sunday School with Deaconess Dr. June Rogers teaching. I think she's kind of wrapping up chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians and going into chapter 3. And then at 10 a.m., make sure you're still tuning in for our Sunday service with Pastor O bringing us the word. Amen? Amen. So Pastor O's book, Jesus Christ from His Birth to His Ascension, is $5 off from now until April 30th. He gave us this great discount because of the Easter season. So again, you know we had Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, but guess what? We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every day because praise God for what he did, okay? Thank you, Jesus, for going on our behalf. So why not celebrate the entire month with $5 off on Pastor O's book, all right? So we all love discounts. We all trying to get a hookup. This is a $5 hookup. So take advantage of this discount, buying for your kids, your family members, people who may not know the Lord, friends, people in your community, yourself, obviously, you know, just whoever the Lord leads you to. So share this book with them and bless their lives and bless your life as well. Amen? Amen. So the fourth Wednesday of every month from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. from now until November, First Fruit Living Ministries and Minister Shelley, along with Pastor O, as well as anyone else who wants to join in, of course, will be out in front of Running for Christ Ministries right there. There's a bus stop right in front of the church, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, as well as giving out Bibles and lunches, having conversation with people. So if you're able to make it out on the fourth Wednesday of every month from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., please do. Amen? Amen. So as a reminder, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Go to our church website, rfcm.org. Click on Blog Talk Radio tab. You'll have access to all of our classes and services from beginning up until now. Again, all for free. Also, make sure to share these classes and services with others. There's the option to do that right on the website. If you would like to bless us at Running for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, or if you are a member and you want to pay your tithes or give any additional offerings, again, rfcm.org is where you will do that. All the info you need will be right there. There's a mailing address as well should you want to mail something in. We would like to thank everyone that faithfully gives to Running for Christ Ministries, even though we're not physically present in the building. And because of your continuous support, of course, we have been able to make our first installment towards the outreach ministries that we support: Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Detroit Rescue Mission, Covenant House, Bondage Breaker Ministries, Gleaners, and First Fruit Living Ministries. Praise God. Amen. So we know that these ministries help lots of hurting and struggling people all year long. So we praise God for you. God bless you, and we thank you. And for more info on our outreach, again, visit our church website. Amen. In addition to this, if you would like to give a love offering for the preacher who brought the word to us today, which was Elder Joe Stevens, again, rsbm.org is where you will do that. Under offerings, you can give. You can make a notation for who the gift of love is for, and it will be passed on accordingly. Amen. Amen. So we know that prayer is simply talking to God, and it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do no thing, nothing. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you, and we will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. We have been commanded to seek God's help and God's hand in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen? Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We will choose to be obedient today and continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Pray for those who are sick, shut in, one another, of course yourself. Pray for our kids, our nation, our world, leaders, everyone who has kept this world going during this pandemic, obviously short of the power of God. The many missing and exploited who are being trafficked and abused, as well as all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are persecuted for their belief and service to the Lord. We heard about that a little bit talking about Stephen today. All right, we know that he was being persecuted and Saul was, but that's all right because the Lord worked that whole thing out. Amen. So special prayers go out to all of our mothers at Running for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia, as well as Tyrone Hamilton and Pastor John Mack. Pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, remembering Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You, yes, you, you and you, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which is your household today, Judea, which is your community today, Samaria, which is outside of your comfort zone to places where you wouldn't normally go in today's time, and to the ends of the earth. And that's places where you never thought you'd go, never even thought they existed. But guess what? They need the word of God, too. And it's our job to spread the good gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. 1 Samuel 15:22, the Good News translation reads as follows. Samuel said, which does the Lord prefer, obedience or offerings and sacrifices? It is better to obey him than to sacrifice the best sheep to him. Now, back then it was literal sheep, but what do you offer up to God today in place of your obedience to him? Is it your job? Is it TV shows? Is it a social life? Is it social media? Whatever that is that you put in place of offering up your obedience to God, that's your sheep, okay? So if God asks you to plant that seed, then plant it. Be obedient. If he asks you to water that seed, then water it. Be obedient. Whatever you have to give up to do what God asks is nothing in comparison to the blessings you will receive by being obedient. Amen? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. You know, I give these scriptures not for you to be sad or to bring up any old emotions, but I say them to direct you back to the source of strength and encouragement that only the Lord and the word of God can give. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. We're all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, you, yes, you, and you as well, are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they stand, put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings are not always in the form of money or things. A smile or a kind word goes a long way, and the gift of love is free. Because guess what? The love that we get, we didn't pay for. Jesus paid his life for us. That's love. And that was free for us to accept the salvation of Jesus Christ. So take time out to be a ray of light to someone today, because as Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen? Amen. Happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world. who celebrated this past week or who are celebrating today. Saturday, my favorite day of the week. But we always send special love and birthday wishes to our Run for Christ Ministries family. And Nedra is the only birthday we have this month at Run for Christ. She will be celebrating her birthday on the 12th, which is Monday. So we say happy, happy, happy birthday to Nedra. Amen? Amen. So my pen pal, a.k.a. Baby Holy Ghost, a.k.a., again, Mrs. Overall, has put me in charge of the final thought. So the last part of my announcements will sound a little different. Every week, actually, is probably going to sound different, depending on what the Holy Spirit leads me to say. So I have a devotional for you today, and it says, Build Your Life on What Will Last Forever. And this is by Pastor Rick Warren. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Most people rarely evaluate their values or question their perceptions until they have a crisis. It's when you're in deep pain that you begin to examine what you're basing your life on. You may realize you've been living your life to feel good, look good, or accumulate wealth or power. The crisis helps you realize instinctively that there has to be more to life. But there's no reason to wait for a crisis to evaluate your values. Instead, stop today to consider what you should value. Start by asking yourself this critical question: what is going to last? The world seems to value the here and now. The message is that tomorrow doesn't matter. Next year doesn't matter. 1,000 years from today don't even matter. Eternity and heaven don't matter. Just live for today. But the Bible says something different. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. That's 1 John 2:17. So consider what happens when you're tempted. Temptation isn't just a battle between good and bad or what's best and what's not best. Temptation is always a battle between now and later. Will I do what God says and enjoy the benefits later, or will I do what I want and enjoy the benefits now? The Bible teaches us to fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. Again, 2 Corinthians 4:18. Whether you're in a crisis or not, take some time to evaluate what you're basing your life on. Choose to build your life on God's truth. It will last forever and never let you down. So I personally ask you to ponder on these final thoughts and answer honestly. So think back to a time when your life was in crisis. Were you building your life on the wrong things or on God's truth? What did that crisis teach you? What are you building your life on today? A solid foundation in the Word of God or on sinking sand? Do you need to make adjustments to build your life on God's truth? What things tend to distract you from fixing your attention on things that are unseen? Only you can answer these questions. The Holy Spirit will convict you, but not condemn you. So once you've answered these questions honestly, confess these areas of your life to the Lord and let Him work on you so you can fix your eyes on what lasts forever, which is eternal life with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements and kind of a mini sermon. Amen. Pass off on that.
Oh, you're going to admit it. Because I was going to tell Pastor. You. Amen. Pastor. Amen. Are you there? Did you,
yeah, I'm
amen.
Here.
Yeah. Did you hear that?
Yeah, she did good at first, but it came out.
I'm telling you.
Oh, Jesus. Help, Lord, help.
Thank you, Crystal. That was some awesome
You're
stuff
welcome.
Right there.
You're welcome. Now I quit. Yes, now I gave my 2 weeks, but I won't be back in 2 weeks. I'm my last day today. Praise God. Love you all.
Praise God. We'll see you next time. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right.
Amen. Love you, Crystal. Thank you. We appreciate
you. Love
you,
too. You're welcome. No problem.
Amen.
Be blessed.
I want to thank everybody. We are a little over time, but that's okay today because the Lord getting it all out, and we don't mind giving Him His time because Jesus gave us 3 hours, right, from 6th to the 9th hour. That's the least we could do, right, preacher?
Yes, sir, and that was a rough 3 hours.
Yes, indeed. There was no plan.
No, sir.
Well, give us some closing words and let us get out of here. And amen. We full.
We praise God for the day. We thank God for his many manifold blessings. And as that song says, fill me up again with your spirit. I'll change one word because God's never going to make us do, but the Holy Spirit can sure enough lead us.
Yes.
Lead me to be what you would have me to be. Lead us to be what you would have us to be. And he said something about anoint us, give us power, use us or use me, and sanctify me for your glory. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. You know who that is? That's he was like DMX. He was a rapper, and now he's a Christian. Yes, he's a Christian rapper. That's Pastor. Now he's a pastor and got his church. That's Pastor Canton Jones. Yes,
wow,
and he brought up.
That was some powerful words in that song. I'm like, whoa. Yeah.
And he brought
a
gaggle. He brought a gaggle
of
drug dealers. I don't know. I forgot what album that is.
Well, you know what? Just send it to my phone.
Okay, I sure will.
I got to listen to that again.
Yeah, I got a lot of his stuff, especially his last one called Justice. That is super powerful. But you don't hear me playing a whole lot on here because we, you know, people be all broke up. They'd be like, oh, you're breaking the world in the church, the whole world. Amen.
Mm-hmm. But you know
God's
what? The church
got
to go to the world, and he's gonna save people in all walks of life. Because we've been too slow about going out doing what he commanded us to do. Bottom line.
That's why he kicked us out. We wouldn't go out, so he kicked us out. Now we out here acting like little scared cats. But anyway. Hey, man. Thank you, Brother Preacher. We appreciate you. And I'll get that
bless
to you as soon as I
thank
can.
Thank you. All right.
Amen.
God continue to bless you and Sister
Amen. God bless. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for the preacher. Thank God for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, for Deacon Eric Reed, and the altar caller. And we thank God, amen, for showing up for the word of God and for the preacher being brave enough to preach it. See, you remind me of Dr. Tony Evans. I listen to him sometime, and I say, Jesus. Jesus be like, what? I'm like, is he trying to empty his church out with that kind of preaching? Because he be preaching hard. You listen to Dr. Tony Evans, he preach hard. And he don't care, okay? And so that inspires me. I like listening to those kinds of preachers. A lot of folks think Joel Osteen is soft and all he has is a prosperity message. Amen. You try to live the kind of faith life that he called for you to live and see how easy that is. Amen. We down here on the ground like chickens. Joel say we supposed to be soaring in the sky like eagles. What we down here doing hanging around chickens, we're eagles, amen. But I like that. It inspires me, and I believe it will inspire you too. Don't judge people. Listen to the word, hear the word of God, and then accept that. And thank God for the people who he used. Because one time God blessed a man through a donkey. Did you hear what I said? Just listen to the message. Don't worry about who delivering it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Want to send a big old prayer out to DMX family, to DMX friends, his fans, and all the folks who loved him and may not have known just how deep he was in Jesus because his life looked raggedy. But that man loved Jesus. He reminded me of Lazarus, whose life was all tore up. But in the end, he loved Jesus and went straight to the bosom of Abraham. And I know DMX went straight to where Jesus is. And all of that stuff that had him held down, it was like when Israel came out of Egypt. And when God had got them safely across the Red Sea, you know what he told them? These Egyptians you see today, you ain't never going to see no more. The Lord told DMX the other day, you know all them problems and that big old long struggle you had with trying to live for me in that life? Guess what? You ain't never going to see them no more. Like old folks say, every day is howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. Amen? God bless you. God keep you. Here's a song by a local group in our area from River Rouge. They're called God's Harvest, and they wrote a beautiful song that I heard years ago at First Baptist Church. Amen. When somebody close to me had gone home to be with the Lord, and they stood up and they sang this song, and it comforted me. I'm praying it comforts DMX fans, family, and friends, and all of us in Christ Jesus who may be still dealing with the loss of a loved one. God bless you. God keep you.
I would like to dedicate this song. Never to be alone. No, no, no. I'm going to a place where the grass is always green. Love is shared among everyone. See everyone in you. Need. Oh boy, yeah, yeah. Say a prayer. One of these days, it won't be long. You look to me and the eyes I shall be gone. I shall see Jesus face to face. I shall, yeah, yeah. See the streets are paved with gold, and Jesus knows my soul. I shall, Jesus promised me what I'm saying.